Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And I know for Tim and I, our commitment to being in God's Word every day, you've talked about that so much.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Kathy Bush discussing what saved her marriage.
And I know there's so many Christians out there that don't read God's Word. And if you don't know the blueprint for your life and what God wants for your life, you're not going to know. I didn't know what God wanted for me as a wife. I had no idea what my role was as a wife until I read it in the Word. I mean, He tells us how to live our life and how to live it so that we're blessed. And I believe that if you're a wife and you're struggling in your marriage, the first thing that you need to do is get your life right with Christ. And that's how you're going to have a great marriage. You're going to be a great wife. But it's just getting lined up with Christ.
More from Kathy at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles. Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at FrontierFloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. James Butler was a circus performer turned prospector. Not even sure what he was prospecting for up there in the Dakota Territory, but we know that he was prospecting. He just got married to a pretty young circus girl named Agnes Lake, and he wanted them both to retire comfortably and build that house they'd talked about. Jim was quite romantic, after all. "I will devote my life to making you happy," he told Agnes. So Jim headed out west to stake their claim. And it could be he found it. Now you've met James Butler. Now I want you to meet John McCall. Cross-eyed, broken-nosed John McCall, one of those disgruntled postal workers you keep hearing about. Sullen personality, sort of a loner. Had only one postal route, little town of Red Cloud, and the even littler town of Deadwood. Now, we're not 100% certain why John McCall grew determined to kill the newlywed James Butler. We think a couple of crooks named John Varney and Tim Brady took McCall out one night and got him drunk and actually paid him to shoot Jim. But anyway, based on what you already know about Jim's recent ambitions, it would be logical to assume that the bad guys were after his mining claim. We'll leave that behind for now. All I want you to picture is the scene in Deadwood outside the number 10 saloon, 3 p.m. August 2nd, 1876. In particular, I want you to see the horse over there, the horse tied to the hitching post. That's the getaway horse. That's the horse Postman John McCall had all picked out to jump on and ride out of town like the wind after he killed Jim. It's not even McCall's horse. Don't ask me why. Maybe his own horse was too slow or something. Anyway, he knows Jim's in the saloon. His intention's to go inside, sneak up, and shoot Jim in the back of the head, then ride off for who knows where. John McCall got the first part just right. He found Jim indulging himself in a friendly game of poker. The newlywed prospector died smiling, never knowing what had hit him. But from this day on, when you retell the tale, I think you will delight your listeners if you include the following facts. John McCall and James Butler had met the night before, had played poker the night before, and Jim had won and took McCall's money, all of it, maybe even the down payment on his own assassination. But Jim, feeling sorry for John, bought him dinner and went on home. And you will remember this as well, that the August afternoon John McCall picked to kill Jim was a warm one. So warm that the unwitting owner of McCall's designated getaway horse, the owner of the horse before leaving him tied up, loosened the cinch on his saddle That's right. It was a hot night, so he loosened the cinch on the saddle. And when John McCall boldly leaped into that saddle to make his daring escape, the saddle turned all the way under the horse's belly, hurling the assassin to the ground. He was promptly apprehended and later tried and convicted and strung up. Sometimes American history, or what you see on TV or even hear about in school, doesn't do justice to the weirdness that was. For once upon a blazing saddle, there was a cross-eyed, crooked-nosed mailman who set out to murder James Butler Hickok. Could that be Wild Bill Hickok? It was Wild Bill Hickok. The killer of Wild Bill Hickok. The killer was captured by his own getaway horse. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy, your host on Wednesday and Thursday. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today I have Murray Powell on the show. We're talking about Templeton. We are going to talk a little bit about water and some things in San Miguel, but we're going to finish our discussion on Templeton first. So one of the things that is happening here with the Templeton, so you have where they vote, the one chair, Jones quits, and then you have Murray takes over for one meeting, and then they suspend Murray for one, kick Murray out for one meeting, but he comes back a meeting later. But meanwhile, they put a guy named David Leader into, they put him into the issue. And David Leader, he lives on a road that is a neighborhood that there's a disagreement if it's a private neighborhood or a public. Some maps say it's a private road. They pay for all the repairs. The county does not repair it. The citizens there repair it. There's some argument, is it public or private? But anyway, there was an article, I'll tell you, I've seen these arguments. They got to go to court. One person looks at one map and says something. Another person looks at another map. I've seen the same argument in Atascadero, and I've seen the argument go both ways. Because you have a bunch of paper roads in Atascadero. It isn't a black and white thing if it's written. It isn't about the time it was written that way. And if you're repairing your road and the county is not repairing it, that is generally considered private. If you have to pay to repair your own potholes, it may be open to the public to drive on, but if you're doing your own potholes. But anyway, they need to go to court and fight it out. The neighborhood association voted against him. He wanted to do some type of leader wanted to make where he could have use his property for an event center. The other neighbors would not let him do it. They started fighting as a neighborhood, and the neighbor said he began harassing him. It was basically a he said, she said. A bunch of the neighbors, eight in all, began filing things against each other. Leader accused his neighbors, tried to find restraining orders against them while they were filing restraining orders against him. There were the judges denied most of the restraining orders in the beginning. But then a bunch of the neighbors put videos in. And because of the video proof that showed, the video showed Leader stopping by the houses in the middle of the night, honking and horn, cussing at people. They showed him trespassing on properties. They showed him damaging property. And they showed him taking a camera. They ended up, there are three different restraining orders against Leader with eight people mentioned. Meanwhile, after the restraining orders were put in, the problems continued. And when you have a restraining order and you violate the restraining order, he's allowed to drive by their houses. He cannot stop. He can't spend 30 times a week, you know, in a month, honk outside your house and call you names at 2 a.m. That if you have a restraining order, you can't do that. Sheriff's Department did look at the different things going on. District Attorney's Office did look at it. They filed 24 counts. I think 21 of those are for violating a restraining order. 2 of those are for vandalism, and 1 is for petty theft. And I've been told that's a camera. So their new chair is in trouble. It's a neighborhood dispute, but this should be, if you don't like the way the board voted, your neighborhood association voted, and you believe you have a right to do something, you need to take it to civil court, I believe. But Murray, you were actually a friend of Leader when this all started, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And I like David, and and so he was just elected the new chair of TAG at the January meeting. And then Karen, of course, published a story on all this, so now it's out and about. But I actually was involved, or I knew a lot about what was going on because David was keeping me apprised. I actually went to 2 of his court hearings. I actually testified at one in his defense. And I think this is a tempest in a teapot that's gone totally out of control. But in any event, given what's going on here and all of the complaints now, it doesn't seem that maybe David is the best choice to be the chair of TAG anymore.
It might be a problem. And again, it's going to be, this is at a court of law. They go to trial on March 2nd. And this was, and again, when this first was the neighborhood, when you had David Leader saying they're harassing me, and the neighbors say he's harassing us, the judges weren't going to do anything. Every judge said, no, we're not giving anybody a restraining order. But as soon as they went back with proof, he was on their property. And they have video cameras up, and you can put video cameras. You cannot aim them at somebody else's house, but these are not small properties. These are multiple acres. They're not looking at somebody else's home. They have video cameras in front of their properties, and you can't wake people up in the middle of the night. And we'll see what happens when they go to trial. Currently, he's facing 2 years in jail for what he has done, and they're saying that there's been more allegations, more videos of him violating the rules. This could even end up with felonies and more time served. If you have a restraining order, you have to follow it. Even if you don't like your neighbors, you have to follow restraining orders. There's a reason. But you had some, you were at a coffee shop and there was somebody else there, and they reported that he didn't leave, correct?
Yeah, well, it was a side street in Paso. During one of the court hearings I was at, the judge had to stop the hearing around 10:30 in the morning because of other matters the judge had to deal with, and rescheduled the 1:30. So we ended up not, we stuck around in town. This was at the Paso courthouse. And so we went to, so David and I went to Side Street at about 11:30 for lunch, and sat in the back restaurant area at a booth. And any event, long story short, the other side that was also at the hearing, including two of the other side's attorneys and 2 or 3 other people, were sitting back in the back corner, and we never even noticed they were there. I actually had to walk by that area, and it was back kind of unlit area, and to go to the restroom, and I never did see them. And then Leader got up and also went, and when he came back, he was facing back that way, and he goes, oh my God, they're there. We'd already ordered. The food was on the way, and I guess, and I said, well, we're already here, so let's eat, which we did. And I guess that was a violation of the restraining order, because I guess David was supposed to leap up and immediately rush out of the restaurant. It was totally unintentional, and I guess, I'm not sure what happened after that, but I think the judge slapped a big, huge bail on him, fine on him, and also they put on a tracker on his leg. So it's just gotten totally out of hand.
It has gotten very out of hand. I suggest if he thinks he has a right to do things on the street, he files a civil case. But do you, if he is going by, as the law enforcement has determined by videos, and harassing his neighbors and making them wake up multiple times a night, do you believe that's a violation if he is doing it?
If he's doing it, I don't know. You know, it was funny because one of the things that was discussed was whether he's driving too slow when he goes by. And there was another attorney that happened to be at that hearing that was not involved. But when we went on the break, that attorney came out and said, you know, maybe I would love to be to represent you, because I cannot believe that there are rules on how fast you have to drive by a neighbor's house. And it's the only road in and out of his house. It's the only way he can get in and out of his property, because he's at the far end of the road. So that's kind of what's going on here.
We'll have to wait and see, because I've read some of the other stuff, and they're saying, like, calling women fat and cussing and blowing the horn. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the courtroom March 2nd. This will be over. But we're going to change the topic a little bit right now. As many of you know, there's a plan to build, well, how many houses?
180, approximately.
There's 180 home subdivision in San Miguel. And as many of you know, there's been a push by the governor to get more building in, and there's some rules with that. Here's the rub, and that's what we're going to talk about next. I have Greg Graywall and Murray Powell. They're both very involved in the water issues. There is an issue. They are claiming that GSA in San Miguel is claiming there's a problem with the water, and there's a restriction when they're claiming there's issues with the amount of water available, with what they can do, and how much water the San Miguel can use. And I'm going to have him. I'm going to have Greg explain this a little bit better. But right now, there's some allegations. Wait a minute. If you're claiming you're having a water shortage and you're already taking more water than you're allowed to, how can you approve a 180-acre subdivision while you're claiming there's not enough water to cover the people there? Greg, am I saying that correctly?
More or less. So here's the deal. And there was five entities that sued people over the basin. This is the quiet title action. Okay, so we were the first guys to have a jury trial in the state of California on a water issue. It was a 14-day trial. Paso Robles, San Miguel, the county, and Templeton all won a prescriptive right to a certain amount of water. The amount that San Miguel won was 178 acre-feet of water. Here they are now. They want to add a subdivision in the CSD boundary on a piece of property, and they want to divide it up so they can add right now 180 approximately homes. So that's at least a half an acre foot of home. So you're talking 90, and then there's some open space for a park and stuff. So at least another 100 acre feet of water. Over these past years, since the SGMA, the State Water Control Management Act, and the Paso Basin Cooperative Committee that turned into the what they want to call PRAGA, the guys that think they're the water authority, I call them the
Joint Power Authority.
Yeah, the one that got voted down. They're the
Purgatory.
They're the Purgatory Water control agency because they're on their way to hell. So the deal is, how do you add 100 acre feet of water to homes when you're claiming there's a problem in the basin? You're claiming there's a problem in the basin to get grant money. You've gotten grant money. You've spent the grant money on the theory that there's a problem. And now, by adding this, you're looking the other way and saying, well, there must not be a problem if you can add these homes. Now, Bruce Gibson is the one that says a person over the basin can't use their property because there's not enough water. Well, how can San Miguel had almost 200 homes if the guy across the street over the line of the CSD can't use his property? So this right now is going to go to the Planning Commission on February 26th, and we're going to go there, and I'm going to produce this information on the court order that says the amount of water they can use. I'm going to show them in the annual report how much water they are using and how much they've used over the last 8 to 10 years. And then I'm going to ask them the specific thing. Where's the hydrology report? Where's the reversal on the court order? How can the chairman, who's your boss, Bruce Gibson, a supervisor, claim it's okay to build these homes and you guys approve this job? How did these guys get a will serve letter in September of 2025 if nobody else over the basin can use their water?
And what we're talking about with the not being able to use their water, the county has put a moratorium on water. So if you were a good guy, and back when there was a real problem with the basin, I think it was like 08 or 05, I can't remember.
Well, they look back to 2009.
What they did is they put a moratorium, and some people, they said, I'm just not going to grow. We're a farm, but we're not going to grow for a year or two. While this happens, I'm going to finish explaining how this went down and how some people now cannot grow crops because of this moratorium. They grew crops for tens of, you know, lots of years, and now they're going to put in homes right near them.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. The Dow gaining steam in the final minutes of trading with the major averages ending mixed, but the tech-heavy NASDAQ fell in a tech-driven sell-off. Investors are concerned about AI spending as they digest mega-cap tech earnings. Tech was the worst performer among the S&P 500 sectors, while energy and industrials gained. Microsoft shed 10%. The tech giant beat Wall Street forecasts for both sales and earnings in its second quarter, but indicated softer growth in its flagship cloud computing division. On the other hand, Meta Platforms reported both earnings and revenue that bested Wall Street forecast in its fourth quarter, and its stock rose over 10%. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, Honeywell, and IBM. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Boeing. The Dow rising 56 points, the NASDAQ lower by 172, S&P 500 down 9. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive Commercial knows truckers can expect the unexpected when driving, but a little heads up like this would still be nice.
Hey there, good buddy. This is the pothole you're about to hit and blow a tire on. Afterwards, you'll say, boy, that came out of nowhere, which is funny considering I've been here the whole time. Because I'm a pothole. Over.
Be ready for the unexpected with heavy truck roadside assistance available 24/7 year-round. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Covered subject to terms and limits. Not available in all states.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Now, we're talking, what I want to explain to you is you had farmers that had farmed for 50 years on their property, their family had, and they decided not to grow, and that was actually back in 2013. And then they went back and said, we're going to keep this. It was supposed to be a short-term ordinance to stop, and they keep re-upping that ordinance. Meanwhile, you had some big money guys from out of area plant like mad at that time. And then they said, we'll sell some of our water rights to this guy that can't do it. Whether that's legal or not, that's what happened. Debbie Arnold fought against this. Supervisor Debbie Arnold was absolutely fabulous trying to help the farmers. She was able to do it when they had Lynn Compton on the board, but then Jimmy Paulding got on the board and they went back and said, no, you cannot. We're going to keep that going. So meanwhile, you're telling me that some of the guys that don't want to grow grapes right now don't want to lose their water rights like these other guys that did it for another reason.
Exactly. So they were behind the nobody was for the ordinance when it happened. So Bruce Gibson and Frank Meacham, oh, this is a 2-year timeout. It'll never be permanent. That was in 2013. Here we are in 2026. And this ordinance is supposed to go away in 2028. So they started this thing called the Miller Program where you can follow voluntarily. But the people now who saw what happened back then want the 5-year look back to go away so they won't be penalized if they self-fallow and take out stuff that they can't sell. So we have thousands of acres of grapes that are being grown. And grapes isn't the bad thing. It's just, why do you want to irrigate something that you can't sell?
The bigger issue is here, why when you had these people that were donating a bunch of money to people like Bruce Gibson, when you're letting this farmer that's family farmed for 50 years and you're telling them they can't grow, and now these guys want to stop growing and not lose their water rights, why the other ones lost their water rights? We have to start looking for the families that lived here and get back, if we're going to let people grow, and we say there's plenty of water, we're not having problems anymore, you can't have it both ways. You can't say there's plenty of water for these guys, but there's not plenty of water for these people.
Yeah, and there's, if there's water for housing and hotels and parks and other things, and we have plenty of surplus water. So during here this last, I'll say, 3 or 4 months, myself and Mr. Powell, we've received documentation on all the water use from the inception of the Salinas Reservoir, which is Margarita Lake. We have all the documentation on what's been used and what's happened with the Nacimiento pipeline. And the entities that are involved in both of those situations have wasted the available water by not using it in lieu of pumping. So we don't have a water problem. We have a management problem. And it costs more to use water from Nacimiento or the Salinas Reservoir than it does, or the state water, than it does to pump from the basin. But the guys that, by the guys, I mean, the city of Paso Robles can't say, well, we don't want to spend the money. You can't claim there's a problem in the basin when you're 13,000 acres. The city of Paso Robles is 13,000 acres. The management area of the basin is 436,000 acres. So they're a very small portion. They're a pimple on an elephant's butt. They're nothing. And their land use authority is their city limit. They have no authority over the basin. They can't tell the people over the basin what to do with their water. They're not their water district. The county is not their water district. San Miguel is not their water district. The two make-believe water districts, EPT and Shannon, are not their water districts. Those are opt-in districts, and they don't deliver any water. All of these people that want to be in charge have no authority over the major portion of the landowners over the basin. They are the ones that have the primary position. They have the highest priority right. And this is what these guys don't like. This is what needs to be solved. They fought adjudication of the basin because the DWR, the Department of Water Resources, specifically said, if you adjudicate the basin, you solve all the problems. You meet all the management, you do everything. Because the water is equally divided amongst the users. They didn't want that because they want to use more than their fair share. They want your share.
And what can the public do? So when is this meeting going to be at the Planning Commission? Can people attend the meeting? What should the public do if they want to say you can't have it both ways? You can't say there's not enough meat. So you have the San Miguel CSD saying we don't have enough water, but at the same time they say we have plenty of water. What can people do to get their voices heard?
Well, you can go two things. One, you can write letters to not only the planning commissioners, which are hard to contact because they're all voluntary and you can't even, they don't even have email addresses or county phone numbers. Or you can show up at the commission hearings, which are public hearings, at the Board of Supervisors meeting room on, what was it, the 16th?
It's February 26th. It's 26. A Thursday, 9 a.m. And every supervisor appoints a planning commissioner.
Yeah.
So contact John Pashong. Tell him he wants either get the contact information for his planning commissioner, contact Heather Moreno, find out who her planning commissioner is, and say, hey, I want these questions answered. I want to know if you're claiming there's a problem in the basin, how are you going to approve this subdivision when you're telling the neighbors around it they can't use their land because you're the land use authority? They're not the water authority, but they are the land use authority. So they direct your use by telling you what you can do on your land.
Yeah.
Do you believe there's enough water for those people that were growing before crops to grow in rural Paso Robles? And do you believe there's enough water for this subdivision at this time?
Well, let me answer that for a second. So, you know, people think the basin is a big lake or like a swimming pool. So, but it isn't. There are pockets. And so there are certain areas like Jardín, El Pomar, what's the other one?
Estrella.
Squirrel Hollow. Squirrel Hollow, where there's a problem. But it isn't basin-wide. I mean, right now in Creston, there's a Cal Fire firehouse just before you go into town. They have a well. They put on a real-time monitoring. And he's been watching that. And you know what the basin water level is there? 15 feet below the ground level. 15 feet.
Let me tell you something that I do know. I used to live in Santa Margarita. And I will tell you, the water, when we had a lot of rain, it would drip off the side of hills. Your roads would never dry up. And there was, I can't think of her name, there was an attorney that was building a building there in the middle of town. There's a restaurant in there and a little antique store now. And they had to put, because there was so much water and the water level was so high, they weren't allowed to put a septic tank underground. They had to put it above ground. Yeah. Because guess what? There's too much water.
Sophie.
Sophie, yes, you remember that. I lived there, and the problem was I had a big hill beside the road, that dirt road that went back to the property I lived on. There were times that you couldn't even get out. There would be rivets, and that there was one rain for, I mean, we had it dripping off that hillside for a month after it rained. We're not talking a dry area. We're talking saturated.
All of these parts are connected, but they might sound not. So there's a thing called the live stream agreement. A certain amount of water has to flow from the Salinas Reservoir, which is Margarita Lake, down the Salinas River to the convergence of where the Nacimiento River comes in from Nacimiento Lake and its dam. Well, going back and looking, and okay, 77 to 78 years is how long the dam. Now, the city of San Luis jumped on with the Army Corps, or the Army, and then the Army Corps from 1955 to start taking some of that water because they didn't have enough water for the city to grow. So they decided to steal the water in North County to take it to South County. Water doesn't flow to the south. It flows to the north. And that water is what keeps the Salinas River alive. And that water is what recharges the Paso Basin and the Atascadero Basin. So I go back from 2010 to the present, and I see that they haven't used more than 3,000 acre feet a year in the city of San Luis. But 6,000 is measured being taken out because 3,000 evaporates. So there's 23,000 plus in the lake. They leave 20,000 sitting there being wasted that's beneficial. So instead of letting the water out like they should with the live stream agreement during June, July, August, and September to recharge the basin and to keep water in the river, they hold it. So what happened during wet years? Well, in 2019, 49,000 acre feet of water spilt over the dam in February and March. In 2023, 32,000 acre feet of water spilt over the dam during that rainy season. If they would have lowered the elevation of water in the reservoir, they would have had space for the new water coming in. They would have recharged the basin. Having unlimited amounts of water flow in the wintertime when everything's wet everywhere doesn't help. You need it during the dry periods. You need the water to be from bank to bank because the alluvial area in between that is the sponge that recharges the area.
So we're right back to bad management.
Exactly. Yeah. And the same guys that claim they should be the water authority are the guys that have mismanaged it for the last 20 or 30 years.
And again, a lot of the people that want to be the water authority are the ones that want to bank and sell water. They wanted these people not to be able to have water and to have to buy water. So again, remember, you were someone that was being good. You decided to be kind and not grow for a season. And then you haven't been able to grow now for over 10 years. Why they keep putting this moratorium on water, even though we're not having water issues at this time. I will tell you, there was an article, I think it was the New York Times, that said, the earth does not stay the same. The earth has never stayed the same. There's times it's hotter, colder, areas that have water, areas that are dry. They said that the slight changes, a degree or so in the water, has caused these atmospheric rivers. And everyone says, oh, we've always had bad storms. Yes, but we haven't had atmospheric rivers. They just stop and pour. And they are different from a real bad storm. There's a difference there. We're getting way more water on a regular basis than we used to have. Even our drier years right now have way more water. They believe this is a permanent change, and there are going to be areas, including us, that have more water than we've had in a long time. Our county doesn't follow the legal way to do water, and let me explain. I called the National Weather Service a while back, and our county looks at an old map with water checking. It's like a 60-year-old map that has where they had the measurements for water. Those places aren't even there. So they're trying to say that's the closest measurement for water. That's not how you decide rainfall. According to the National Weather Service, every decade, you're supposed to go back 40 years and get the average rainfall in the last 40 years. And then the next decade, you do the same thing. You go back 40 years. You don't go back and look at 30 years, 40 years ago. Our county is not following the rules of how you're supposed to look at water. They don't do it here. They don't want to do it here. Average rainfall by the federal guidelines from the National Weather Service is the last 40 years. And right now, I think that is changing because we are getting a lot more rain, a lot more rainfall. We've got to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Murray Powell and Greg Graywall. We don't do it.
Right.
They told me that isn't the legal. That is not a legal way. Our average rainfall here is not legal.
Right.
And without a doubt, it's not legal. And they played with it. You know how I found this? They were trying to say something about Santa Margarita. So our rainfall then like was 18. Then they made it 24. Then they made it 35 in like 3 years. And I couldn't explain them. They put it back to like
painting,
26.
We get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating.
And they're going,
missed
oh, we
calls,
got it from this number.
No callbacks,
and I said,
endless
no,
waiting
you
for even a price.
They
do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot.
From across the
and to top
freeway.
It off, yeah. We'll have a detailed
like
quote
shit over there.
Well, if you go over to Terrahassa Canyon, where George Sullivan lives, because his water well comes off of that river that comes out of there. But, and it flows year-round.
But it also, the rainfall there on
oh, yeah, he gets like 40 inches.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And if I hadn't copied this thing, I was like, wait a minute.
Exterior painting.
You're going back to a 40-year-old map.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County.
All of our reports show that we have more. They had to lie. In 2014, they changed the criteria because the county agreed with them because the county was going into court against the Quiet Title people, and they needed to prove that we were in overdraft.
What
so they
should
said,
you look for
oh, yeah.
in choosing an insurance
well,
agent?
Courtney Howard,
experience
yeah, that's
is a key
all right.
quality.
We'll go along with
good
that.
Good agent responds
but
promptly.
They lie.
It gives you clear explanations.
They have been lying.
Letting you know exactly all the details of your policy.
Ago,
and a good agent
so
has good listening skills.
Time.
And a good
well,
agent
I
takes the time to
one,
understand your unique situation. A good agent.
And it was like
Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Hey, get in here. They're about to kick off.
I'm coming.
Boy, this streaming isn't very good. What kind of internet you got?
Satellite. This happens all the time. I'll go up on the roof and fix it. Hold my beer.
You think that's a good idea?
I got this.
Okay, so that's a bad idea. But if you live in a rural area and your internet connection isn't what it should be, it's a good idea to get Ranch Wi-Fi. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with small town customer service. Let Ranch Wi-Fi deliver fiber optic connections wirelessly that'll get you connected and keep you connected so you can stay in the game with the internet speed you need. They also have no data limits and no contracts, so you don't have to suffer with DSL or satellite. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with hometown customer service for the entire Central Coast, especially in rural areas. Get connected fast.
Call Ranch Wi-Fi 805-995-4181 or visit ranchwifi.com. Ranch Wi-Fi, delivering big city speeds to the Central Coast.
Have you felt that instant panic when your car breaks down? You deserve to be treated like a guest, not a problem. At Shifton Gears Auto Repair, they're shifting expectations with hospitality-geared auto service. Transparent updates, honest answers. They have your back from the moment you call, and they are always ready to serve you. Next. Finally, auto repair that puts you first.
It's a different committee.
Okay.
It's an outreach meeting.
We're back. Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. Sorry about leaving one of the mics on. There's extra mics today. Welcome back to Sound Off. I've got Murray Powell and Greg Graywall. We're talking water. Now, I'm not as up on the water issues right now with the meetings coming up. Greg, what meetings do we have coming up in February? And is there anything the public should know about these? Or Murray?
Okay, so now the new Paso Basin Authority, who started operating in April, last April, one of their main responsibilities is public outreach, which they've basically done very little. And back in on December 1st, they had a board meeting, and that was brought up. And they said, "Yeah, we have to do a lot more in public outreach in order for the public to understand what they're doing." Which so far they haven't done anything, in my opinion, so of any consequence. So anyway, and so then they had a January board meeting scheduled, which they canceled. And there's a couple of these agencies that are part of that group that have their own board meetings, the water district meetings, and they've canceled some of theirs and so on. So now they're rushing around and decided that they have to show everybody they're going to do more public outreach. So they've scheduled a meeting on February 10th, and we don't even know where it is yet, I believe. In any event, so that meeting will require, and there's a notice that's been put out, God only knows how many people haven't ever seen it, that requires a submission of any questions or comments by February 4th for the February 10th meeting. The form is 6 pages long, 6 pages. And one of the things on there is a proposed authority budget for this coming fiscal year, starting July of 2026 through June of 27. And that's the first, and I track all these budgets, and that's the first I've seen of this new proposed budget. The current budget, which has been modified countless times right now for this authority, this group, is about almost $1 million, and that's all being funded by these four agencies, the county, the city, the two water districts. The new budget is around $1 million. The one they put into the notice is $1,150,000 for the year. But if you look at it, and if you know all of the projects that they're obligated to be working on to resolve our so-called basin water problems, you'll see that a lot of that money isn't being spent as usual on any of those projects. You know, in the meantime, they've got administrative costs covered, they've got legal costs covered, and so on. So it's business as usual. It's window dressing as to what they claim they're doing, which is practically nothing. And and that meeting on the 10th, for anybody that's a stakeholder or a groundwater user, should be at that meeting if we ever get notice as to where it will be. I believe it'll be at the Centennial Park meeting room, because that's what they've been using. So we'll see. And also there's a private meeting on February 4th that only certain individuals have been invited to, and supposedly a stakeholder meeting. But, you know, the general public has not been invited to that meeting. It's not even a publicly noticed meeting.
Yeah, so I want to just correct a couple things. Number one, it is business as usual. All the money they've spent has gone to their consultant friends, the same consultants that have been working forever. So we keep spending money on consultants, but we don't do supposedly what we're supposed to do. Mr. Reilly, he's a good enough guy, has a position with the county that's in charge of all this basin management, and he's making almost $300,000 a year. So we're already paying my taxes are already paying for the basin to be managed, not only through my property taxes for flood control and water conservation, which is the GSA, but also for a manager who that job was created by Supervisor Arnold and input from myself. So we don't need another agency. We don't need an authority. We don't need these other guys. They're only trying to protect their private interest. Again, the San Juan District has 60 people. The EPC district has 160 to 170 people. They are not a majority of landowners over the basin, and most of them don't even live over the basin. The city of Paso Robles has no authority outside of their area. They're not a majority landowner over the basin, and they have supplemental water they're not using. So all these problems are easily solved, but they cost these other agencies money instead of us, and this is what they don't like. They want to tax you so that you can pay for what they need. And so the meeting that Murray brought up on February 4th was a committee that was just put together by invitation to talk to another consultant who's being paid $50,000 to try to come up with some kind of a plan for the people that have the shallow well issues or their wells have gone dry. Myself and Murray were on a committee called a Technical Advisory Committee for more well monitoring. And the initial thing I said, well, all you got to do is go look at the four areas where the wells have been replaced, where they're shallow, and then look at what's around them when it came in. Just happens to be irrigated agriculture that created their issues. So these guys now are trying to look at the fact that they don't want to be held monetarily liable for creating mitigation problems for the housing that the county allowed to be in those areas before the irrigated ag came in. And one area for certain is where Justin Winery took the Hardem Ranch, planted 800 acres, put in four ponds that are each 50 acre feet each, so they have 200 acre feet of stored water that's constantly being filled to irrigate the vines. And all around them in this El Pomar area, when that started, was the shallow water issues for all those homeowners that had to replace wells at roughly $80,000 a pop.
I do think it's going to be very interesting to see how the county looks at, we want to do this housing, but we want to at the same time claim there's not enough water. This is going to be a very interesting couple months.
Yeah, and just going back just a split second, they couldn't prove in court that we didn't have enough water. So a lot of things are manufactured. That does not mean that we don't have a shallow well problem. That does not mean that there's areas that don't have the same recharge as other areas. Like Murray brought up, the Creston Fire Station is in the middle of an alfalfa field, uses more water than anything, surrounded by vineyards and other irrigated ag. The water on a meter that was put in August that tells you every day I can look at it, it says, yeah, the water is 15 feet below the surface. So how can a well in the Creston area only have to be 400 feet deep max, but over in the Estrella area has to be 800 feet, or in El Pomar has to be 800 feet, or over in Squirrel Hollow has to be 800 feet? Well, all the vineyards are at 1,000 feet. Gee, I wonder why. And why did the county allow the Jardine area to have wells of 230 feet when they subdivided that? Because it was dry farming and cattle around them. It wasn't irrigated ag. So they created these issues, and they want somebody else to foot the bill for their mistakes.
Yeah.
So these meetings are coming up. When is your Quiet Title lawsuit ever going to end?
The first week of August is our last trial. So
hopefully.
How many years has this been going on?
Just over 12. Well, we lost 3 years during the COVID period because we couldn't get into court. So we only have the city of Paso Robles and San Miguel now involved in this last trial, claim that they have Pueblo Treaty rights from 175 years ago that the Spanish gave them, even though the CSD of San Miguel wasn't formed until 2000. And the city, nobody had wells over the basin back then. They were using the water out of the Salinas River. Neither one of them were a pueblo, which is a village of Spanish or Mexican people. This whole thing is a joke just to kick the can down the road. And hey, they've spent almost $18 million. They haven't gotten anything.
Thank you very much, Murray, for coming in today and giving us an update on Templeton and water. And Greg Graywell, always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Turn them all.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.